Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
We're on the line with Dr. Kenny Handelman, psychiatrist and adult with ADD. Good morning, Dr. Handelman.
Hi, thanks for having me, Bob.
Your book is called Attention Difference Disorder, not Attention Deficit Disorder. What is the distinction you are making?
Well, I think it's really important to look at ADHD from a different perspective. So many people deal with ADHD, and oftentimes it's in the media, the press, the news, all of that kind of stuff. And people are always talking about the deficits, all of the problems, children who are doing poorly. And then people are worried about overdiagnosis, over-medication and that. My approach is to look for the differences within people rather than the deficits. Because when it comes down to it, kids and teens with ADHD and even adults with ADHD view the world differently than other people. And if we focus on those differences, if we help them to build on their strengths, they can do absolutely outstanding things. If we only focus on the deficits and the problems and their difficulties, it can be very hard on self-esteem and lead to more problems as the years go by.
Little detour. What's the H for?
H stands for hyperactivity. So within ADHD or ADD, which are kind of synonymous terms, there have been different uses over the years, but essentially there are two main groups of symptoms, either the can't focus very well symptoms or the hyperactive and impulsive symptoms. So some people have the can't focus, daydreaming, trouble paying attention symptoms. Some people have the fidgety, restless, act before thinking symptoms, and some people have both.
Hmm. How has it been for you when you have this, or you've always had it, or whatever?
Yeah, so it's a diagnosis it's a condition that starts in childhood, so I've always had it, but I only got diagnosed as an adult. And that happens for many people out there. It's estimated that over 8 million Americans have ADHD, and many don't know it. So for me, it's mainly the can't focus thing, trouble getting started, trouble finishing tasks, trouble staying on top of things. But, I worked really hard at it, and, I didn't find out till after medical school, right? So
I was going to say, so you went through medical school, so I guess you were able to conquer that.
Yeah, well, I really naturally just sort of focused on my strengths and worked really hard, and it was really important to me to become a doctor. So my symptoms were relatively mild, and I developed a lot of strategies to work on it. So I know what it's like to have it and work on strategies with it. At the same time, I've also taken medicine at this point, and it makes a big difference. So I can really understand both sides of it. I think it's really important for people to figure out what's going on, get a treatment plan in place that incorporates strategies and medication if it's appropriate.
Mm. I was going to ask, it wasn't clear to me what your stand is on medication. You say there is a role for it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing is, I really get concerned about, let's say, the 5-minute appointment, right? A parent goes in with their child or teen and says, I'm worried about my child not focusing or doing poorly in school, and then within 5 minutes, the doctor's written a prescription and diagnosed ADHD. That's bad medicine. And, people should worry about that and make sure their doctors are doing a thorough assessment and being careful about the use of medication. However, when the condition is diagnosed properly, medication is helpful as part of a comprehensive treatment plan. So in my book, Attention Difference Disorder, I talk about 7 steps. Medication is step number 5. It's not step number 1 or 2 or 3, but it's step 5. It's not the only step. There are other steps. You need to develop strategies, school strategies, parenting strategies, alternative treatments, etc. But medication does play a role.
Mm. And you were starting those. That was a list of what's before medicine on your list.
Yeah. Well, essentially, the 7 steps, as I describe them. Number one, you have to get educated about the condition. You need to know what it is, what's going on, and stay up to date with the new research. Number two, you have to make sure you get the right diagnosis. So if you're worried about, did my doctor do it too quickly, or did they not follow all the steps, you need to get educated. What's required here? And this is different than other areas of medicine. I mean, if you get diagnosed with a cancer or arthritis, you can usually trust that your doctor's done the right tests. With ADHD, many people don't feel comfortable, so you should get educated about what's required. Step 3 for kids are parenting strategies. Parents need to develop the right strategies that help for kids. Step 4 are school strategies. They need to work with the school to help improve the chances your child is going to do well. Step 5 is medication. Step 6 are alternative treatments. And even though most doctors aren't comfortable, there is research that shows that alternative treatments work well. And then step 7 is treatment integration. And that's really adapting over time and dealing with any coexisting conditions, because many people also have anxiety issues or depression or learning issues. And you really need to create a treatment plan that addresses all of those issues.
What are some of the alternative treatments?
Great question. So, because many people like this and want to know about it, and the, you know, doctors often say, oh, don't worry about that. Here are three that are really important that have good research behind them. Number one are omega-3 fish oils. So there's research that shows that omega-3 fish oils can be helpful. It's not a very strong response. It's not as strong as medication, but there's minimal side effects, and it's healthy anyways. So taking fish oils can be helpful, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, diet change. Many doctors are opposed to this, but there's more and more research showing that if you cut out food additives and preservatives and chemicals, that makes a difference for a small percentage of people with ADHD. And again, even if it doesn't fix the ADHD, it's healthy anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And also having more protein snacks rather than sugar snacks, that stabilizes the blood sugar. It helps people to feel better and have less moodiness throughout the day. And a third one is exercise. Getting up, moving, it's good for the heart, it's good for the brain, it lowers frustration, it improves the mood, and it may improve ADHD as well.
What does the medicine do?
So people often talk about stimulant medicines. Why would a stimulant stimulate you but then calm you down to help you focus? The way I want people to think about medication is the medications stimulate the brain chemicals that increase focus. So people with ADHD have a difference in their brain, the way their brain focuses. So the medication helps to boost the brain chemicals called dopamine or norepinephrine, which are the little chemical messengers between brain cells, and it turns up the volume of those messengers so that it's easier for people to focus on the task they're doing, and it's easier for them to quiet the noise around them so they can focus better on on-task behavior and be less distracted and impulsive by the things around them.
Dr. Kenny Handelman, his book, Attention Difference Disorder. You said, I think, something to the effect that people with the ADD perceive the world differently, and you have ADD. How do you perceive the world differently?
Great question. You know, when it comes down to it, people with ADHD don't generally just kind of accept status quo because of it. We are the type of people who are going to question. We're going to challenge. We're not just going to, you know, kids in school aren't just going to say, well, sure, I'll do that because the teacher said so. They're going to say, well, why? And why would we do it that way? And why couldn't we do it this way? And people tend to think outside the box. So, you know, our brains are wired a bit differently. We see the world differently. We challenge things in different ways. For myself, I had trouble sitting through meetings and administrative stuff. I didn't want to stay in university-type academic things. I couldn't tolerate the meetings and the frustrations and all that stuff. So I'm out in the community and instead pursued more writing and speaking and different things like that. And I'm happy for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been great. I've gone online and started sharing things in a whole different way that most doctors aren't doing because mm-hmm. I was curious, interested, and saw things differently. So now, you know, and over history, there have been a whole range of people who have really challenged the status quo and helped move our world forward. And many may have had ADHD or may have traits with ADHD. The CEO of Kinko's has ADHD. There's Howie Mandel, Michael Phelps, Terry Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole list of people coming forward and sharing that they do things differently, see things differently, and have ADHD.
Is it heredity?
Yeah, it really is. About 80% of the cause is genetics. So it really does run in family. So, you know, if there's a child with ADHD, there's a chance mom or dad may have ADHD too, or may have had it when they were kids. So it really does run in families, and it's important to think about it in that context.
Psychiatrist Dr. Kenny Handelman, author of Attention Difference Disorder. He lives in Canada, which is our great neighbor to the north. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob.
Take care.